Good evening. Now we're a couple of minutes early, but hopefully that's okay. Welcome to the gospel meeting. It's my privilege to present to you the good news of the gospel, God's plan of salvation. I'd like to start by singing number 3, but before we sing, I'd like to read a couple of verses. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday and today and forever. That's a name, Jesus Christ, the same. The same is a name, yesterday, today, and forever. Second verse, Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the rock, and his work is perfect. 3 weeks ago, we made a quick visit to the Oregon coast, spent the day at Arcadia Beach, place I had been many times before, but it had been several years. And walking down from the parking lot, it was always a steep grade to get down to the beach. I noticed something was different. The pathway was completely different. It had taken a different route. It was no longer the path that I was accustomed to. Over the years, and maybe there was a particularly rough storm, had beat that pathway up and it no longer existed. So they had to come in and build a new path. It didn't remain the same. There was a rock out there that had been there for as long as I had been going to the beach. That rock was out there 100 yards, 100 meters, off the coastline, and it was there. Let's sing number 3. Some brother could help me out.
I hope on nothing less is there than Jesus and the blood he spilled. All other ground.
Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, I want to continue reading in Deuteronomy 32, reading about the rock. You know, it's interesting. I've often thought when I see headlines, there's no good news. If you just read headlines every day, there's no good news. Nothing solid. Just thinking, I read it myself, but someone this morning mentioned how they're trying to predict the weather and what's going to come this winter. And they're saying a super El Nino is forming, and it's going to be possibly as strong as it can be. Is that unsettling? Well, just before this meeting, talking with some about fires in the Northwest, and I know had fires up here, some here from Spokane, and it's quite unsettling, isn't it? To know or to not know what the future holds. But there is one that knows what the future holds, and we can rest in him. It's interesting, the Monday after the fires in Spokane, or while they were still going on, a coworker of mine said, you know, the only place in the universe that fire exists is on Earth. That's pretty solemn when you think of fires oftentimes speaks of God's judgment. This Earth is condemned, and it will, in a coming day, melt with fervent heat. Well, let's read in Deuteronomy 32, verse 3. I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. All his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he. That is the God with whom we have to do tonight. He is a holy, he is righteous. He executes judgment righteously. None of his ways are without righteousness. Just and right is he. That is the God with whom we have to do. What is our condition tonight? If we are still in our sins, we read in verse 18, of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Maybe you can place your verse, your name in these phrases. If we start at the end of verse 15, then you or I forsook God, which made you, which made me, and lightly esteemed the rock of your salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. Have you no thought of God tonight? Are you a stranger to him? They forsook God. They didn't want to retain him in their knowledge. Couple verses in Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Says the Lord's hand is not heavy, or is not shortened, neither is his ear heavy. It's the same God from what we know as the beginning of time. Same God from a past eternity. He is still able. He is still willing to save. But our sins and iniquities have separated us from God. We learn, too, that we are dead in trespasses and sin. In our natural condition, there's nothing in us that would respond to God. Dead. We are dead. We are enemies against God. He is the same. He changes not. And yet we see the downward progression of mankind throughout his history, gone further and further from God. It's been about 16 years ago. We had just moved into the neighborhood, and I was working, maybe doing some trimming in the backyard, and a man that I recognized, but he was now my new neighbor, he came walking by the back fence, stopped to talk, and introduced himself and formally introduced myself. And after a while of talking, this man's name was, we called him Mr. Dell. After a few minutes of talking, he said, "Jonathan, are you a God-fearing man?" You know, I could say yes. He was a dear brother in the Lord. But I ask you tonight, are you a God-fearing man, woman, child, boy, girl? You have any thoughts of God? Anything that would respond to him? He is the same. He is that rock. He does not change. He's looking for a response from you and his love towards you. Are you a God-fearing person? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? I trust each one. I saw a head nod, and that makes me really thankful. Each one here knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That is the rock in which we can trust. Going to turn, read some verses from the end of Matthew chapter 7. Talk a little more about this Mr. Dell. About 3 years ago, Mr. Dell, you would say naturally, a tragedy occurred in his life. Naturally, it was the end of his life. He passed away in a tragic house fire. Awakened in the night, the house was on fire. They told me, "We're trying to resuscitate him." But he was gone. He was gone to be with Christ, which is far better. And I'm going to see Delbert, Mr. Dell, again in a coming day. We don't know what is next in our lives. Things change rapidly. How is it with you? The next day after the fire, I thought, you know, I want to see something. And so it wasn't quite boarded up where the fire had burned through the back of his home. And I went in there and I found the dining room table, stack of books there. At the top of the stack was his Bible. Opened to this portion in Matthew, and I enjoy it a lot. I don't know. I know he was studying the next day. He was a minister of the word. He was studying to preach. Don't know exactly, but I'm going to read some verses that I found on his Bible. Everything was ashes all around. That portion of the house was mostly spared, but his Bible lay open there. So let's just read in connection with our subject, Matthew 7, 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, And the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In the reading meetings today, we've had it discussed and brought out the need for spiritual growth, that it's normal for a Christian to grow. But there can't be growth unless we have that good foundation, that rock that we can base all our lives off of. So we see two men here, and the circumstances were the same in the sense that they needed to build a house. But one was wise and one was foolish. One built upon the rock and the other built upon the sand. And the wording is the same as far as the storms that came upon them. You know, even though you may build on Christ the rock, there's still going to be those storms in your life that can shake you to the foundation. So the words are all the same. The rain descended, floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house. That's where it ends, the similarities. One remained standing and one fell. How solemn. That someone would be under the Word of God many years or few years, maybe one time, and refuse to listen to it, continue to build, and not be on that solid foundation. There's nothing but destruction that is reserved for someone like that. Are you building on Christ the rock? Will you be found in His house for all eternity, being with Him for all eternity? Or are you building on sand and in a place of torment? How solemn that is. Again, down at the beach, there was a stream flowing out from the rocks, making its way down to the ocean. And we had brought some shovels. And so the kids and some adults started building a dam out of sand, kept building, and I soon joined in. And we got it pretty good, stopping the water up, and built a reservoir, maybe, I'm going to say a foot, third of a meter high. Kids were playing in it and having a good time. And I enjoy dams. My work takes me to a hydroelectric dam every day. And so I got to play a little bit of a, it's called a dam safety engineer. It goes around and makes sure the dam is holding up like you expect it to. So pile sand here, pile sand there, and watch for it to not overflow the sand, knowing that it would just take a few minutes of inattention. And once it started washing through, it would all wash out. Well, they were having fun, and I knew it wasn't going to last. There's no way it could last. And so after 5-10 minutes of being called away to something, I got notified by a nephew that said, "The dam failed. It's all washed out." I went back and I started throwing shovels of sand in the water. It was no use. Another nephew told me, "Doesn't seem like what you're doing is helping at all." He was right. There was no helping. It was washed away. So is that your life? How is it with you tonight? What are you building on? You know, this world, we see more and more how it is framed up solely on sand. It's not going to take much. Another coworker of mine often says, "Strange times that we live in." I think there's a general fear, general recognition that it's a big house of cards about to fall. Are you ignoring the realities of that? Could you be so engrossed in the entertainment of this world, the sports of this world, education of this world, business of this world, that you have no thought towards God? You have forgotten God? How sad that is. Well, what is the solution? Just a verse. John 7. John 7 and verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." He is the rock. There's a story there in Exodus. We'll turn to that. Of the rock being smitten. Exodus chapter 17. Children of Israel were in a desert place. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." You know, the soul without Christ is in a thirsty condition. They can't be satisfied. And we, again, trust that you are not satisfying or trying to quench that thirst by things of this world. The Lord Jesus is offering living water. "Come unto me and drink." And so there's not much worse natural want than to be very thirsty and nothing be to drink. Nothing there is provided to quench that thirst. That's where the children of Israel were. We'll skip to verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. And thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it that the people may drink." And Moses did so. We learn in 1 Corinthians 10, it says specifically, they all drank of that spiritual drink. That rock was Christ. That rock, though, it didn't give forth water until it was smitten by the rod. And so we learn in the Gospels that Christ had to die before he could give forth life. And so he was smitten by God, that rod, and he bore the judgment for sin and sins. In those 3 hours of darkness, he bore them there on the cross. God's wrath poured out against sin. And he was the only one, the spotless Lamb of God, that could bear the judgment against sin. "Let him come unto me and drink. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." We trust you are not quenching your thirst by any other means, but by the Lord Jesus Christ himself and that finished work on the cross. About 5 years ago, there was a construction project at my work. They had discovered many years earlier that there was a section of the dam that wasn't built upon a solid foundation. And they spent nearly $30 million to build another section of dam. They had to go in behind that bad portion of the dam, excavate it down to bedrock, and then build it up from there. You know, that section that was originally designed, I don't know why they built it that way, maybe shortcut, saving money, saving time, but it was became in the wrong conditions, an earthquake or something like that, it became useless, and everything else would become useless as well. And they had to get down to that solid foundation. And so we, if we are not on a solid foundation, can we bring any of our righteousnesses to him and be accepted? Absolutely not. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. There's nothing in us that is acceptable to God. And I found it interesting to see the construction. They had to go into that bedrock and make sure the cracks were filled, were solid, that there wasn't anything in there that was unstable. That's where the picture falls incomplete, because Christ, as a foundation, says, we read already, he is the rock, he is perfect. He could say, it is finished, and he gave up the ghost. Nothing left undone, nothing incomplete in his work. It fully satisfied God, as we had this morning, as to the question of our sins, as to the question of sin. God is fully satisfied with his work. You know, though, something else. God sent forth his son into this world, and he was not popular. We follow a rejected Christ. It says in 1 Peter, stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. I'd like to consider that a little bit. A rejected Christ. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Here was the Son of God, the creator and sustainer of this universe. He held everything in the power of his hand, and yet he became a man like one of us, but sin apart. There was no sin in him, and yet he saw, in a sense, he felt what the effect of sin had done in this world, in this creation that was created perfect before him, by him, and yet sin had completely defiled it. And he came here as a man and saw that firsthand. And so he was the man of sorrows. He could weep at the grave of a loved one. He was all accessible to any that came to him. Not a one left unhealed. Not a one left in a physical condition, an illness that he had had previously. All were healed when they came into his presence. But he was a man of sorrows. He was rejected, a man. They said, "We will not have him. Crucify him. Crucify him." How serious that is. And so this world has rejected Christ. And that is the one that we are called to follow. Verse 4. "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Says he was stricken, smitten of God. Again, well, why don't we turn to it in Matthew 27. Says he was despised, rejected of men. We'll just read some of these verses. Matthew 27 and verse 22. "Pilate saith unto him, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified." There was no room for the Lord of glory in this world. He did not come in the way that man had expected. He came a humble, lowly man. His Godhead glory was veiled. His moral glory, that which was internal, could not be hid. But he came as a man of sorrows. Pilate, another gospel says, "I find no fault in him." They said, "Away with him, away with him. Crucify him." Verse 29, "And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him, and took the reed, and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took his robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him." Verse 35, "They crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there." That's how man treated his creator, the Son of God. Spit in his face, plucked the hairs off his cheeks. Is there any doubt that judgment is coming to this world for their treatment of their Creator, for their treatment of the spotless Lamb, spotless Son of God? Only judgment awaits for those that reject him. Verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, Lama Sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So it was those 3 hours of darkness. We read it in just one verse that we call the center of two eternities, when God the Father forsook his well-beloved Son. The Lord Jesus was smitten by the rod of God. And he made atonement for sins. It says in Galatians, and I trust that each one can say this, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say that in your heart? Can you say, he bore my sins on the tree? That is the way of salvation. You cannot pay for your own sins. They are paid through the death of another. Just turn back to Isaiah 50. This was the man of sorrows. Isaiah 50, verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. End of verse 7. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. A flint is like a small rock that has direction to it. And we read almost a quotation of this. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. Despite knowing what lay before him, he set his face and he could not be moved. He was that rock that would go and bear the judgment for sins. Again, can you say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me? One last verse. Lamentations 1, verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see, if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. In type, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, beseeching you tonight. Is it nothing to you? Have you seen what I've done, what I've borne on the cross? Is it still nothing to you, all ye that pass by? No. There isn't one that's going to be in hell that didn't have enough of an opportunity to come and be saved. It is by their own denial of that rock. They're putting it off, disregarding what that rock went through for them, the smiting, the deep sorrow, the pain that he endured being smitten of God for sin. In closing, could we sing number 13? Man of Sorrows, what a name for the Son of God who came. your hatred of mankind with that spear piercing his side, but the grace of God flowing out in that blood that makes atonement, that covers, provides a covering, makes our peace with God. Hallelujah. What a Savior.